All right. If you would please head with me to Isaiah chapter 40. That's where we'll be tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 40 as I give the introduction to our message tonight. Now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the title of our message tonight is Do Not Grow Weary. And as I look around the room tonight, as I look around the sanctuary, I see folks from many different walks of life, folks that are dealing with a great many struggles in life, various types. It's different for each and every single one of us, but each and every one of us are dealing with something. Many of these things I know that we're struggling with. We've talked about them, we've prayed about them, and tonight's message is, well, it's focused on giving you strength, telling you where you can go to renew your spirit, to renew your strength. You see, many of us have been dealing with these things in our lives for quite some time now. Very difficult situations. And it is a whole list of things. It could be problems in our marriage, concerns for a wayward child, loss of loved ones, separation, loneliness, persecution, feelings of inadequacy, addictions and vices of all sorts, financial issues, health concerns, problems at home and at work. Each of us has these struggles. We all face difficult situations, difficult circumstances in this life, and each of us is called to respond to the challenges of life in a Christian manner, which is to be said in a way which pleases the Lord. Now, as I say that, that sounds good, right? That sounds like an amen, right? Yes, we've all got struggles, but we're going to respond to these in a Christian way. We're going to glorify God. The problem, though, is that's easy to say when we're on the outside of a storm in our life, looking in, when we're not going through it, or when we haven't been going through it for very long. But when we are the ones who are in that storm, when we are the ones dealing with difficult circumstances of many different types, at first we feel very strong, but as time goes on, it's common for our strength to wane and to faint. Now, tonight's message is not going to fix the problems, okay? You're not going to go out of here tonight and be like, woohoo, I've got the answers, where problems are solved. I can't do that for you. I wish that I could, just as you can't do it for me. That being said, though, I would like to give you some encouragement this evening, give you a rock upon which you can stand, and give you a source of strength for that fight, which neither you nor I know how long that battle will be. Join me, please, as we pray for the message. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, Father, we bow down before the throne of grace. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given your only beloved Son, Lord, Jesus Christ, as our atonement, Father. We thank you for Calvary, where that blood was shed out, where he so freely gave himself. Father, I thank you for my own salvation. I thank you for the work that you've done in my life, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in and through the lives of so many gathered here tonight. Father, we ask that the message tonight, Lord, that you would be with me as I come to preach it, Father, for you know that I am completely and totally inadequate. Father, my words have no strength without you behind them. Father, I pray that you would be with me, Lord, that you would help me to see clearly your message and your word and your truth. Help me to preach it clearly, to speak it clearly. Father, we pray that each and every one of us, myself included, would have a heart that's open to receive the word of God. So let it reside within us, Father, that it not simply come in our ears and pass over our heart and go out the other. Father, we pray for all those tonight that are struggling with the difficult circumstances of this life, that Father, your word would be a blessing, that Father, your word would be refreshing and renewing and grant strength for that fight. Father, we pray that all that we do and all that we say through this life, each and every action, Father, would point to you, would glorify you, Lord, and would be pleasing in your sight. Father, we pray for those who are dealing with the hurricane, Lord, on the East Coast there, and Father, we pray for those who are in hospitals, those names that we mentioned prior today in the announcements. Father, we pray for the meeting that's going to take place on Saturday amongst the pastors of the churches here in Summers County. Father, we pray that you would help us to, Father, walk rightly, to speak rightly, Lord, to think rightly, that you would guide our thoughts and our words, And Father, in all things that we pray for families, Father. We pray for those of our church family, those that are here and those that couldn't be. We pray for the lost in our surrounding community. Lord, we pray that you use us in a way that pleases and glorifies you. All in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, so like I said, if you have your Bibles in front of you, please turn to Isaiah chapter 40. That's where we'll be starting out tonight. Now, as many of you well know, Isaiah is a prophet of the Old Testament. Now, that being said, much of what you see in the Old Testament is given specifically for Israel. However, there are some things that we see in the Old Testament which are speaking generally, though they are spoken specifically to the people of God, they are applicable to us today as the people of God, though our relationship to God is different than that of Israel. Understand that, okay? However, what we're going to be talking about tonight is a principle which is applicable to us as well. And so it comes from Jeremiah, where we see this truth of God and our relationship with God. Now, that's not always the case. Some things are specific to Israel, but not this. Isaiah 40, we're going to start at verse 27. If you would, please go there with me in your Bibles. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Is that how you feel sometimes? Let me ask you that tonight. Have you ever felt like this? Anyone here ever had to deal with something that seemed like it was too much for them to bear in their lives? Anyone ever had pain or fear that seemed overwhelming? Have you ever had to deal with something that didn't seem fair, either not fair to you or not fair for someone that you love very dearly? Have you ever had to deal with something, not that came and went quickly, but something that you've dealt with for years and years? For what I'm talking about is long suffering. And have you ever got to the place where we see here, as we see here in Isaiah, where it says they feel basically like God cannot hear them, like God is neglecting to acknowledge them, as if God doesn't know what they're going through. You may have felt like this in your life. This feeling and these thoughts, they often worsen as time goes on, when we do not receive immediate deliverance, or the prayers that we pray are not answered in a manner which we find to be, which we would consider helpful. However, I want you to take a look at verse 28 with me. Look at the next verse. And this is basically, he's asking them, he's saying, why do you say these things? Why do you say these things? Now look at 28 though. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Now that in itself warrants a conversation. You see, what he's trying to relay there is he's basically asking you, he's saying, do you really think that? I mean, even though we often feel like God isn't answering prayer, like God's not attentive to our needs, the question is asked, do you really think that? Have you not heard? Do you not know? That, and I want you to look closely at the words that he uses to describe God, and that basically answers the question that he gives. He answers this question in the very description of God. He says that the everlasting God, the Lord, the one that created the heavens and the earth, he does not faint. He does not grow tired. He does not grow weary. He does not require rest as you and I do. Keeping all of the stars and the world and the universe in order and in motion does not become overbearing on God. He does not stop at some time, as Keith pointed out in our Sunday school lesson. On the seventh day, God rested not because he was tired, not because he was weary, but because the work that he had was complete at that time. It's saying, do you not know who God is? Do you think he's just sitting back while you struggle and while you go through these things, and that he's just completely unaware of your suffering? That's not the God that we serve. That's not the one true God. That's not him at all. It says, I want you to really quick here, take a look at verse 29, and then I'll give you the words of John Gill here as he explains it, because he explains it far better than I could with my own words. So verse 29, it says, it's talking about God still. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. In other words, when you and I, in our fragile frame, our small strength, are dealing with what seems to be too much, are dealing with what seems to be unending pain and confusion over what's going on in our lives, and there seems to be no hope in sight, there seems to be only darkness, only night, it says that turning to God, we can find strength. It says that the faint turn to him. He gives power to the faint. Listen to the words of John Gill, who was a well-known English pastor and theologian of days gone by. He says, he explains this beautifully. He says, those who are ready to faint under afflictions because they have not immediate deliverance, or their prayers are not answered at once, or promises not fulfilled as they expected. To such people, he gives fresh supplies of spiritual strength. In doing so, he strengthens their faith. Isn't that how we are? When we pray, do we not want immediate response? Don't we? When we're in pain or we're worried about something or someone is suffering or we're fearful, when we pray, we want God to act powerfully. We want God to act immediately. That's the desire that we have. But we have to come to a place where we understand that God's timing is perfect, that his plan is perfect, and what we believe is best for us may not be what's best, not only for us, but for the others. When we've been for a prolonged time, for a long period of time, in struggles, we begin to grow weary, our strength fades, and eventually it faints completely, completely. As I said, God is able, though, to renew strength. And this is something important. It's not just one type of strength. You see, there's a couple types of strength, and each of us has these strengths in different proportion. But God is able to renew them all. And these strengths, of course, they are physical strength, strength of the body, or the health of our body. God is able to renew and do miraculous things. I see Dr. Day here, and I think to myself, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I think to myself, in the years of medicine that he's been in, and I would imagine that many other doctors could attest to the same, I would imagine that there are things that there's just no explanation for. How they recovered, or the quickness with which someone has recovered, or the livelihood with which they recover is perhaps unexplainable in some ways. I don't think that he'd be shocked at all to see that. I would bet even that he probably has. Another type of strength is emotional strength. Many of us deal with this on a very often, very common basis. Emotional strength wanes as well. Emotional strength could be from the passing of a loved one. It could be from the hurtful words of someone who's very close to you, something that perhaps they say in anger or frustration without thinking. It can be perhaps something that we say without thinking when we fly off the handle, right? And later we have pain, emotional pain, as we realize that, shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. There is also spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is basically a measurement of our faith. It is that which is shaken in desperate times, in dark times, when it doesn't seem to be an end to suffering. Often that shakes our faith. But the Lord is able to renew all of these things, all of these types of strength. However, far too often, we try to fight these battles on our own, don't we? We try to rely upon our very own strength. We continue in our own power until we come to a place where we have no power. We come to a place where all of our strength is expended. Often, we believe that our own strength is sufficient. Anyone ever been like that? You ever had a difficult time in your life and you come to something and immediately you think to yourself, this is going to be rough, but I can get through this. I've got this. I'm made of tougher stuff. I've been through hard times before. I'll come out of the other side of this. It may not be pretty, but I got this. Is that the same way you feel when 5 years later you haven't come out of it yet? Or does our opinion of that struggle and our view of our strength often change at that point? Ask someone who knows what long suffering is like, someone who's experienced it, and they'll often tell you, when we've been suffering for a long period of time and strength is waning, we often start to believe that our strength is not going to be enough. Now, if you would please take a look at verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 and 31 in chapter 40 of Isaiah. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want to draw your attention to the first part of that, to the first part of verse 30. Note that it says, even the youths. The reason for this is we often attribute youth with vitality, those who can get hurt, and they easily bounce back, as we say. They heal quickly. They get back up. They're very resilient in our youth, aren't we? We have a lot more strength, a lot more staying power in hard times. But the Word of God tells us that even the youth shall faint. Young men shall utterly fall. No one is able to continue forever. And here it's speaking of not only your physical, emotional, and spiritual strength, but it's speaking about your ability to resist temptation, your ability to obey the Lord. No one can withstand. But notice that it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Notice, and it gives the description, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. In other words, they will be able to continue. They will be able to continue without fainting, without falling, without failing. But notice that that is only those who wait upon the Lord. Now, we have to look at what that means. It's basically saying this: those who continue to trust in Him, to rely upon His strength, to seek His purpose and guidance in our lives, they are the ones who will be able to run with supernatural strength, like that of God, supernatural endurance, which does not cease. And this, of course, is concerning the trust and obedience to the Lord in times of trouble. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It means a life, catch this, it is a life of uninterrupted obedience, trust, and communion with Almighty God. An uninterrupted life of trust, obedience, and communion with God. That is what it means to wait upon the Lord. It means complete and absolute desire and dependence for and upon the Lord. And because of this, we wait. And I put a few things here. I want you to catch the emphasis on this. What are we waiting on when we wait upon the Lord? We are waiting for His will to be accomplished in our lives and the world as a whole. We wait for His power to deliver us, not our own. We're not running to others. We're not running to the bank. We're not running to our friends. We are running to God and depending on His strength to deliver us. We wait for His justice to avenge us, His justice. We do not seek to strike out against those who have done us wrong. That is in the Lord's hands. We seek to glorify God, and so we wait on His justice. We wait for His strength to bolster us. We wait for His peace to comfort us. And we wait in this state for His return. Always. That is what it means to wait upon the Lord. Now let's talk about the result of waiting upon the Lord. It says in the scripture that we just read, it says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But what does that mean and what does it look like? What should our expectation of that be? And hopefully we are able to examine the scriptures and to trust in the scriptures and believe in the word of God, not simply to read these things and leave here today thinking, well, that was all real nice and that was kind words and it sounds good, but it really doesn't help me in my struggle as I walk out the church doors here. I'm going to go back to, you know, I'm leaving the church, I'm going back to my life, I'm going right back to that hardship. Hopefully that's not how we're reading this. Hopefully we are reading this and trusting and believing in the power of God, believing in his ability to save, his ability to strengthen, to uphold us. One of the reasons that we experience weariness, difficulties in our life, especially concerning our wrestling with sin, it's explained to us in verses 6 through 8. In verses 6 through 8 of Isaiah chapter 40, we find a very true and a very accurate statement. Though we often fail to acknowledge this in our own lives. There in Isaiah 40 and 6, the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And there are two things I want to explain to you tonight concerning this passage. First of all, I want you to look at yourselves, to look at ourselves in this context in two different ways. First of all, our righteousness, our goodness, right? We can only be so good. Really, we can't be good at all, right? And that's what he's trying to say. Anything that we do, it's as filthy rags, it fades. None of us have that the ability to be righteous, to live a righteous life. Not without God, we don't. The second thing is that this also applies to our strength, our emotional, our physical, our spiritual strength. None of us have the ability to continue forever. We withereth. Our very lives are not eternal. They don't continue forever in this sense here in the world. Of course, our life itself is eternal, of course, but I'm talking about here in the world, we live and we die. Our strength and our righteousness, it's much like the flowers, they wither and fade. We cannot endure hardship or live in continued righteousness on our own. Though we so often try, it is only God who is good. These are the words of Jesus himself. He says, "Why do you call me good? For there is only one that is good. Only God, which stands righteous forever in power and in strength, whose word does not fade, whose mercies are enduring forever." However, knowing this, when we're in times of hardship, when we're in those difficult circumstances, and being able to draw on that strength when we feel like giving up. Anyone ever felt like giving up? You don't have to raise your hands. I've felt like giving up before. Now you may be thinking, "What? Pastor, you felt like just saying, forget it?" I've been there. So if you're in a struggle today, and you've ever felt like just giving up, just saying, throwing in the towel, "I can't do it, I cannot win," I've been there. I remember when we were having all kinds of issues and I left the service and we lost our home and I was looking for work and I ended up working, I think I was making, $8 an hour, stocking shelves, trying to feed a family of seven at the time, had a baby on the way. I didn't think I was going to make it. And that didn't just go by quickly, folks, okay? Now, it did compared to some of the struggles that y'all have, right? Some of the struggles that we have that last years and years. That struggle lasted for like a year. I was sitting there stocking those shelves all the time thinking, something's got to give. We can't keep this up, all right? I felt like giving up, like I didn't know what to do. So knowing that this strength is there for us to draw upon, knowing that he renews our strength, knowing that he's able to see us through these things, and living it are two different things, two completely different things. It's one to know it. It's another thing to live it, right? If you're in such a time today, I would like to direct your attention to our next passage of Scripture, which is where the strength comes. It's where the hope comes. It's where God gives a declaration of strength and of hope and a promise. And he's giving this promise just in the very next chapter, Isaiah 41. We're going to go to verse 10. It's a passage which I myself have drawn much strength from in my life and in difficult times. And again, this is Isaiah, so he's speaking to Israel. But the premise is that he's speaking to the people of God. And this promise is very much true for us, which you will see as we read it. Isaiah 41, verse 10, we're going to read verses 10 through 13. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That alone should be a comfort to your soul in hard times. There is no one better to have with you when you are going through something than Almighty God. To know that he's with you, that he is beside you, that he walked into the struggle before you got there, that he's beside you as you go through it, and he's behind you. That alone is a powerful statement. God is saying, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Now, as I told you before, this, of course, he's speaking to Israel and those that are coming against them as the people of God. He's saying, of course, that he's going to deliver them, that he's going to protect them, that they don't need to fear what's coming against them. And these other heathen nations, all of their enemies will be laid low, those that contend with Almighty God and his people. But you see, when I read this, it's a source of strength to me, and I hope that it is to you. Because we see here a promise and a principle. A promise and a principle that God is with his people. A promise and a principle that God will provide and protect. A promise that God will see you through. A promise that God will give strength in the hour of our weakness. A promise that God will not allow us to be overwhelmed and taken over by the struggles of this life. That is what I see when I read this. And one of the most comforting parts there is, I want you to notice something. Look at the very first part of verse 10, and then look at the very last part of verse 13. You will see something repeated. Verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." End of verse 13, "Fear not, I will help thee." In other words, God summarizes all that he just said there with his first and his last words in verses 10 through 13, he gives an explanation of all the things that he promises to do. But in the beginning and the end, he says basically this. He summarizes it all by saying, "I'm here and I'm going to help. I'm not just going to stand idly by and watch you suffer. I'm not going to just stand here and watch as you're destroyed, as your life spins out of control." He's saying, "I'm in control, I'm with you, and I will help you. I will act." I wrote this as preparing for the close of our message tonight. God has promised that he's there with us, that he will be there with us as he always has. He's promised to uphold us with his right hand and remember that his strength does not fail, as we spoke earlier in our message tonight. The strength of God does not fail nor faint. However, it's important for us to understand something. Before we can have this strength renewal, before we can have God be there with us and for us and see us through these things, we must come to the place whereby we understand and accept that the words which were so accurately spoken in verses 6 through 8 just a short time ago, where we see that the strength and the ability of man is that which fades away. We must acknowledge our need for God, that we cannot do this alone, that we cannot be saved alone, that we cannot endure the struggles of life alone, that we cannot face down sin and temptation alone, that we cannot be righteous alone. We must come to that understanding. We must come to the understanding that we do not have it all under control. Man has for ages thought that they had it under control. But I want you to take a look and see where we are. Look at where we've come. Ever since back in the garden, that's where it all started at. When we said, no, God, we don't need you. I've got this. I know what I want. What I want is within my grasp. I will take it. I will take care of myself. We see it again at the Tower of Babel, where they say, God, we don't need you to reach heaven. We could build a tower ourselves. Man's got this. We said, God, we don't need you involved in our government and our legislation system. We know what righteousness is. We'll take care of morality. But look where our country is today. Look where the world is, our views of right and what's wrong. God, we don't need you in our schools. We don't need you helping us parent. We're the parents. I know what's best for my children. Let me raise them up. I got this, Lord. I don't need your wisdom and your guidance. I know how to be a father. I know how to be a mother. I know what's best for my kids. Look at the youth of our nation today, though. I won't say any more on that. Lord, I don't need you in my marriage. This is a relationship between me and my wife. You stay out of it. I got this. Things are hard. She's frustrating. I'm frustrating to her. We're arguing, but you know what, Lord? It's fine. We can do this on our own. Statistic today is that half of marriages end in divorce. Our track record's not looking good, folks. I don't need you, Lord. I don't need you to tell me what kind of principles to instill into my children. I don't need your strength to see me through hard times. I can do it on my own. It's not the case, though, is it? As we look around, mankind does not have it under control, do we? You and I cannot do this in our own power. We cannot do it in our own strength. The struggles that you and I are facing in these difficult times, whether it be in our marriages, our relationships with other people, whether it be our financial, whether it be our relationships with our children, whether it be the suffering that someone is going through, whether it be anything, any sort of struggle or circumstance that we're going through, we must come to a place where we understand that we, on our own power, are insufficient. First and foremost, we must understand this in the sense of righteousness. You and I cannot, we cannot be righteous without God. We cannot be righteous without God. We cannot continue. Any semblance of righteousness that we have is as filthy rags. We have to come to the place where our pride can be pushed aside, and whatever it is that you're struggling with, and we call out and we devote ourselves to total dependence upon the Lord, whereby our strength is renewed. Let me say this in closing, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Do not allow yourselves to grow weary. Do not grow weary in time of struggles, in time of hardships, whether you are praying for a wayward child, whether you're going through the loss of a loved one, whether it's relationships, whether it's things of this world. Do not allow yourself to grow weary. Don't allow yourself to grow weary in the battle against sin. Maybe there's a vice. Maybe there's something that you've been wrestling with for a long time and you can't seem to get the victory over, and you keep thinking, am I ever going to beat this thing? Am I ever going to do better? Do not grow weary in the battle. I encourage you to simply trust in the promises of God, to depend upon Him, to lean upon Him, and to wait upon the Lord, to draw strength from God, the eternal source of strength. But there's a problem, and that leads to our invitation tonight. None of us can have that strength from God, that renewal of the Spirit. We can't have that rock to stand upon, that fortress to run to. We can't have that buckler of faith in the time of hardships, unless we have first a relation, a relationship with Almighty God is first. If you don't know God, you can't depend on God. You can't trust in God. You can't have God fight your battles if you don't know Him. So here in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, as we always do. During this time, the congregation is going to sing, and that's an opportunity for anyone who's here tonight. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you just want prayer. Maybe you've already been saved. Maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you have a relationship with God, but maybe you're going through something and you just want prayer. If that's you, then as the congregation sings, if you come down, we'll pray for you. We'll know that you're someone that the Lord is working with and working on, and we'll pray. If, however, you don't know the Lord, if you don't have that relationship, if you can't say that heaven is your home, if you can't say that you have that to look forward to, then as the congregation sings, I invite you to come. And at that time, I will show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, how you can have a relationship, how you can have strength that does not grow weary and does not faint, as we need so often. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.